January of this year, the Corporate Transparency Act was, you know, went into place. Under that act, you have for companies that you've created before 2024, you have until the end of this year to register with the federal government and designate a, you know, file a designated agent or person, authoritative person. You have to disclose who that is by the government. And if you fail to do that, it could be violations of up to $500 per day and prison time if you fail to do that. Now, I look at that and I think that's crazy.
You're saying you can't share our data. You can go work for a competitor, but if you do, we're going to send you this letter letting you know that you better not be sharing any of our info inside that company, and you can't come and try to steal our customers. Welcome to Don't Say That. Today, we're going to talk about the non-compete agreements, or the lack thereof, or the ruling of the FTC. I don't know what's going on. Look, I personally never cared about this, so I've had employees come, and I don't even know if they sign them. And so it didn't move me, but I was shocked to see how big of a topic this was. Even across platforms like TikTok, which just traditionally younger people, it was a big hit. I mean, the videos, I saw the chair or the commissioner of the FTC, I saw her doing lots of interviews, and it was like it was a big thing last week. So I thought we'd get our very own compliance attorney, Mr. Greg, who's basically been hanging out with the FTC for 20 years now. So ask him a little bit about what this is and how it affects you, A, as an employee, or B, as a business owner. So, Greg, do you, first of all, welcome to the podcast. Secondly, everybody, did you get your copy of the book? It's killing it. We are so happy. Thank you for all of you that are supporting. You know, the average person is getting the 3-book package. So they're buying 3 books because they want to hand it to their team members. Go to don'tsaythat.com. There should be a big banner at the top, or the exact URL is don'tsaythat.com/go. The URL is below in the YouTube video as well. Get a copy of the book, man. Learn the rules, know the rules, and protect yourself. Just so you know, I know there are people out there saying compliant marketing doesn't work. I'm going to do another episode in a few weeks where I show you data, because we have now launched 2 different funnels. We're about to launch 2 more in the coming weeks, and they're compliant. They are Greg approved. All right. These funnels have been Greg approved, and they're killing it. All right. So no, Greg is not out here to destroy you and your business, guys. I'm telling you, seriously, we are doing really well. And I can tell you the next book in the trilogy is going to be teaching you what you can do as a marketer. But grab the book. Now, Greg, can you give us a little background history and just tell us what's going on? What's going on with the FTC and the non-compete, and give us the whole thing?
So I'll keep it pretty high level. But a couple of years ago, the Biden administration passed an administrative regulation. They call it a reg. And it basically made a recommendation that non-competes should be unenforceable. So a lot of states saw that, and they adopted various state laws that would restrict non-competes to a 1-year period of time. So when I first started practicing law in Nevada, where I clerked for the Nevada Supreme Court, there was a seminal case about a dentist back in like the 40s and 50s. And he wanted to leave his practice and move a few miles away and go to another practice. And he had signed a non-compete, and that was enforced against him. And so he wasn't able to for like 6 years do that. So over time, the evolution of non-competes basically was like, they look at a couple of things: duration of the time for the limitation, and then scope, or where the proximity of the area in which you're being restricted to do it. So a lot of states have not loved that. And the Biden administration doesn't like, for one reason or another, they think it's unfair competition to stymie people from competing against you. I don't know if for my business clients, I think there's a concern, right? You train somebody how to do your mechanisms, a competitor comes in and steals them, and they know all your secret playbook, and then they start directly competing against you. So most states looked at this and said, listen, we're not going to take away non-competes completely, but we'll restrict them to 1 year. So in most states, if you have a non-compete provision in your contract, the way they handle it is that's just null and void if it's more than 1 year. So my clients several years ago started putting just 1-year limitations on non-competes. So fast forward to last January, 2023, not 2024, the FTC, taking the Biden administration's recommendations, proposed a rule to get rid of non-competes. Now, we've talked about the FTC Act and Section 5. The rule, the new rule, proposed rule, which was adopted just this week, basically says that if you have a non-compete provision in your contract with your contractors or employees, then you're in violation of Section 5 because you're basically promoting a deception among your business. It's this, you know, Sections 5 and 6 of the FTC Act, which declares unfair methods to stymie down competition. Now, remember, we talked about it in the book. I don't know if we've talked about it a lot on these podcasts, but the origination of the Federal Trade Commission in the first place was about anti-competition acts, allowing big businesses to stymie smaller businesses in competition. So Section 5 really has this unfair competition provision of it, as well as this deceptive trade practices. It's all together. So the FTC this week said, hey, listen, we're going to enforce this as if it's a violation of Section 5 and 6 of the FTC Act. And we're going to say, you, businesses, you have 120 days to get rid of non-competes. Otherwise, we could bring an administrative or civil action against your company for stymieing competition. So immediately when that happened, the other, you know, companies were like, this isn't going to happen. So just like within 24 hours of that ruling coming into place, there had been two civil actions that have been brought, where they call them as declaratory actions, where I don't think that the FTC has the authority to make this rule because Congress didn't step in and change the law. They're just making a ruling. These companies are going into different states. One is in Texas, and they filed an administrative declaratory action. It's a civil action stating to the federal court saying, the FTC doesn't have the authority to do this. You can't enforce this in 120 days. And we have to have an emergency ruling on this because this is going to go into law in 120 days. And if it comes into law, we could be held liable if we have a non-competition provision. And so since Tuesday, two civil actions in federal courts have been filed. I imagine that there will probably be dozens of these actions filed in the next few weeks.
One of them was with, I think, the Chamber of Commerce, right? Like it's a big organization that
Right.
filed. I saw a lawsuit from them. Okay, so let's break this down. So basically, this is specifically limiting a business to put a non-compete on their employees. It's not. So, for example, if I sell my company, usually you sell a company, it comes with a non-compete for a few years. That's still enforceable. That they haven't removed that. What they're
Yeah.
removing is purely for employees of a company.
Exactly. If I'm a partner of a member of an LLC and I sell my membership interest, and I part of my sell to get compensation for is that I agree, I'm going to go out and not compete against the company for a certain period of years. It can be more than 1 year. So not only are those enforceable, but they can be longer than the 1 year duration.
Got it.
But you're right. The one in Texas was the Chamber of Commerce that brought that action in Texas. And then
Yeah,
there's
got
another
it.
one. Ryan LLC brought an action on the 23rd of this week.
So
This
what
yes,
are
yes.
your thoughts on it? Before we break it down more and talk a little bit more about what it means for businesses, what are your thoughts on this? But personal, I guess.
I think the states have gotten it right. I think having an overbearing long-term non-competition provision in contracts does stymie somebody's ability to go out and make money. But I think the real reason that you want to have a non-compete is that you don't want your employers or contractors to go and take your data and your customers and your vendors and your accounts and use those to promote another business or their own business. I think that's the biggest risk that you have. And I think the 1 year, I think the states have gotten it right. I think you should have a 1 year because after a year, if I maintain a relationship with a client for more than 1 year, it's more than just me stealing data. I've got to make sure that's an outside the scope relationship that maybe I can do. You
Yeah,
see, and
got it.
I've seen with like the worst of this is direct sellers or multi-level marketing companies. They'll get these people to come in, go and set up your organization. So they recruit, who do they recruit? Their friends and their family and everybody else. They get into that and then they leave the company and they're like, no, you can't take those people. They're our people. And they're like, what do you mean? These are my family I brought into the organization. I don't like you change the compensation plan, so I want to leave, and I can't take those people with me. That's a problem, right? And so having a more than 1 year provision for those people, that does stymie their business and competition. But for you and I, if we build somebody up, we train them, we get them, they get access to our whole database, they see how we're doing business, having them wait 1 year, I don't think is egregious for directly competing against you. They can go out and do other things if they want to, but directly competing against you. But where I pivot, so this is really important because the solution to this, what I do in my contracts with my employers, employees, and contractors, which is completely allowable and the FTC hasn't addressed, is non-solicitation provisions. So I make sure that when I have my clients enter into an agreement with a contractor or a employer, that they make sure that they have a non-solicitation, meaning those people during their tenancy of the contractual relationship or employment or for 2 or 3 years after cannot go to my lists, contact my clients, solicit them for my services, can't go to my vendors, my employees, my nothing. They can't do that. And I find that that's more enforceable. Generally, I do 1 or 2 year period on that, because once after 1 or 2 year period of time, they won't have good accurate data anyway, because hopefully they still have access to that. But where I've seen the biggest breaches when I've had to litigate these cases, it's where they get access to customer data and then they go out and they leave and they start soliciting those customers. So I'm dealing with one right now in Texas for a client, and somebody's part of a mastermind group, gets access to all the data, the people who are in the Facebook groups and contacts and all of that. And they get upset for some reason to leave. And now they're soliciting everybody saying, come use my product, it's better. And so non-solicitation provisions in there. So we're going to enforce that against them. And that's what it's there for. So short summary, I think I like 1 year non-competes, but I really like non-solicitation provisions.
That's awesome. So that's a great, great idea for businesses. Guys, hit up Greg if that's something you want to implement into your business. So Greg, one other question I have is, and my angle, my approach on this or my belief on this has been backed by others before, which was just like, non-competes are so hard to enforce or get anything out of anyways. So let's say I have an employee come and they leave and then they start competing with me or whatever. What am I going to sue them? It's going to cost me tens of thousands to sue them, and then they'll drag out in court, and even if I get a judgment, they may not have the money. And so there's been this like whole, what's the point? Because what are you going to really do other than maybe scare the person? But is that correct? Or have you seen a lot of cases win and non-competes have been very effective for employees in the past?
Well, say you came to me and you were like, hey, I've got this employee that left. I know he's going to work for a major competitor. The first thing I'm going to ask you about is like, how is that harming your business? Do you feel like that's going to be a substantial detriment to your underlying business? And depending on the individual, it could be a huge detriment, right? If it's your CEO of your business and they go to a direct competitor and they know all your inner workings, then you know that they're going to take that against you. Then yeah, we would certainly say, we probably want to enforce that non-compete provision because of where they've gone in their employment. But say it's some receptionist that answers phones, doesn't do anything, and they go to work for your biggest competitor. What did they have access to while they were there, right? Now, we also have, the other thing we always put in there is non-confidentiality provisions. And one thing that I always have in my contractor agreements is that when I have a contractor employee that comes for one of my clients, anything they create during the tenancy of their contractual relationship or employment becomes the intellectual and confidential property of my client. So if they get up and leave and they try to take that, I almost think it's easier to try to enforce the non-disclosure provisions of the confidentiality and the proprietary nature of the information they're taking with them. And then the competition is one of those later things that we go after as well. But it's like building a whole bunch of things to go back at them and say, hey, listen, you're violating this, 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 and this. And we make it more about the systems and processes and inner workings of things, which is confidentiality, than non-competition. I think it's an easier argument. Non-competition is harder because anytime the courts look at it and they say, you're really, their argument's going to be, well, I have to make money and I can't make money and they're stopping me from doing that. So we try to make it about not them making money, but about them using our proprietary information, soliciting our clients and databases. And then the last thing is the competition, because collectively it's all. So number one, look at the scope of the person that we're trying to go after. Two, look at the information they're trying to use. And then if it's something, then I send a lot of cease and desist letters about breaching employment and contractor agreements because it has a detriment. Now, if you come to me and you say, it's not going to hurt us at all, then I'm going to say, why would you waste the money of having, hiring me to go and send a letter out for this? If you're not going to do anything anyway, you got to be willing. I mean, I always tell clients, if you're willing to send out a cease and desist and that means important to you, you've got to be willing, if they ignore it, to file suit. And if you're not willing to do that, then you've got to question whether or not you can't just threaten. Threatening will work to a certain degree, but some people are brazen. They don't care. They'll get a cease and desist and just chuck it. Their attorney will respond with some BS. But you got to be willing. But there are times, there are definitely times where I've brought lawsuits over these issues because it's so detrimental to my clients', business.
Got it. All right. So, in summary, what you're doing with your clients right now to pivot around the non-compete is to essentially have the confidentiality and proprietary information. Like basically saying, hey, the things you create with us while you're employed by us is owned by us and is confidential. You cannot share it outside of us. Also, you're not allowed to solicit any of our, I guess that would protect clients and employees in the company, but that's how you're covering it. So you're saying you can't share our data. You can go work for a competitor, but if you do, we're going to send you this letter letting you know that you better not be sharing any of our info inside that company, and you can't come and try to steal our customers. And so you feel like both of those clauses, they haven't been shut down by the FTC. They're still absolutely enforceable, and they give most of the coverage that a non-compete would give anyways. That kind of a summary,
Yeah,
correct summary?
true. Now, one thing I didn't mention is we're going to bring up our favorite case, the AMG Capital Management case, right? So when that got rid of, if this was pre-AMG Capital Management, the FTC could go in and get injunctive relief against these companies that they after 120 days that they think are stymieing competition, and they could go out and they could get monetary relief. But because of AMG Capital Management, Section 5 of the FTC will allow them to get injunctive relief, but they under 13B, they can't get monetary relief. And so they'll try to default and go to 19 and say, hey, we can do this. But Section 19 is silent as it pertains to non-competition. It only talks about deceptive acts. So this is a
Got it.
non-competition or an anti-competition act. So that's the issue that we're dealing with.
Do you
So
think it's gonna stick? What do you think, like if you had to put your finger on some magic ball, because they have that case, the favorite
what's
case, the
my
AMG
legal
Capital.
opinion? My legal
Yeah.
opinion on this? My legal opinion is that the FTC doesn't have the authority to do this. I think that they're trying to make their own rules. They're trying to apply something. They're grasping at straws. I think the Biden administration came out with this regulatory thing, but they don't make laws. They're the executive branch. They're not the legislative branch. They're not the judicial branch. The executive branch does not make laws. They just don't. And so who makes laws? That's the legislative branch passes or enacts laws, or the judicial branch interprets statutes to say. So where this could come into play is if the judiciary comes in and says, I can interpret this statute, the law that's in place to allow this type of action. That's why these declaratory actions are so important. I think the challenges are valid challenges. I think that the plaintiffs in these cases have a definite argument that the FTC is extending a past their authority to try to interpret this in a manner that is contrary to what the underlying act actually says. And
Yeah.
so they don't have the authority to do what they're trying to do. So my opinion is the FTC should lose. Now, will they? I don't know. They're going to be in a federal court with the federal judge and the federal attorneys. And I mean, before AMG Capital Management, the FTC enforced 13B against companies for 40 years before the Supreme Court finally said. So I think it'll be an interesting case to watch. I actually, it also, it overcomes the state's rights. I'm not trying to play political theory, but I'm when innately governmental. I mean, I'm the grandson of a social science teacher. Is I believe in state rights. I think the states have the ability to be able to set laws for themselves, and I think most states have done a really good job saying, "Hey, 1 year for non-competes." I mean, it's almost universal now among all states that they've done that. And I think that if the FTC is able to do this, it robs the states from making a determination on what they think is best for the companies that are doing business in their state.
Wow. All right. Awesome. So it'll be interesting to watch. Now, once these cases get filed, does the 120-day get frozen or no? That's moving forward. So you, because a case could take for a long time, but you said they did ask for urgency, so it could move faster because of the.
It will move faster. I think the kind of a parallel of this is that in January of this year, the Corporate Transparency Act was, you know, went into place. Under that act, you have for companies that you've created before 2024, you have until the end of this year to register with the federal government and designate a, you know, file a designated agent or person, authoritative person. You have to disclose who that is by the government. And if you fail to do that, it could be violations of up to $500 per day and prison time if you fail to do that. Now, I look at that and I think that's crazy. How many businesses are out there? I mean, think about the businesses that maybe you've set up that you forgot about. And you just... Yeah. You don't register, and then you're getting a $500 fine per day.
Didn't they get frozen, though?
It didn't. There was a case in Alabama that they challenged it, just like this. As soon as it came into place, and that's the illustration, they filed an action, a declaratory action in federal court in Alabama, and the Alabama federal court judge agreed with the plaintiff. But in the order for that, the judge said, hey, we're not going to... We don't have the authority to stop it across the United States. They said, you know, companies still do what you're supposed to do, but we believe that the petitioner or plaintiff in this matter is right, and that this enactment of this is intrusive and non-constitutional. And so the act itself. Now, what will happen there is that's gotten appealed to the circuit court that's over this district court. And that panel of judges will then determine whether or not that's the case. So now I know I'm talking about two different acts of legislation. Now, one was actually an act of Congress. That's the CTA was an act of Congress that passed that. Here, there was no act of Congress, but the same type of provision about trying to get clarity on the law has happened in both. So the same thing will happen here. You may have a ruling in Texas that says, we don't believe that they can do this, but if they don't have something in California or New York, it could still go into in effect in 120 days. So my guess is this, is that you're going to have dozens of challenges of this across the United States. I mean, it's only been a couple of days, and I know of at least three federal challenges already. And so what's going to happen is you're going to either have inconsistent rulings or you're going to have consistent rulings, and then that's going to go to the appellate courts and then maybe up to the U.S. Supreme Court eventually. I think that could take a long time, but it's going to be interesting of how this all shakes out, but you're going to see things in the next 120 days. There's going to be some definite rulings. It's going to be an interesting topic to look at. And so what my advice to, you know, companies that are struggling about this right now, I would look at what you've got for your contractor agreements and your employment agreements and affiliate agreements or whatever else you've got, and really start to heavy emphasize on the disclosure provisions, which is a confidentiality and intellectual property side of it, and the non-solicitations, because there's no restrictions and you're going to get 99% of that. Now, one thing that I've seen a lot in these agreements that I've reviewed lately for marketing agencies and companies is that they have an anti-disparagement or non-disparagement clause in there. That is something the FTC has listed in about a dozen cases that they just hate. In fact, they always, I don't even remember in your case if they asked about this, but they were like, they always look for it. So when I'm doing an investigation with the commission, the first thing they want to look at is, let me see your release forms or your contractor agreements or your affiliate agreements, because they're looking for non-disparagement clauses. If you have them in there, I would get rid of them. Instead, have the confidentiality provisions. It gives you almost everything you want out of a non-disparagement, which means if you settle with the employer, contractor, or client, or whatever, and they go forward, they can't disclose it with anybody because it's confidential. So anyway, that's just kind of my little bonus
Yeah.
added I wanted to throw in.
Wow, awesome. All right, so everyone, here's the deal. For now, we have to move forward as if it is an absolute law, because unless we see some rulings or see any other news, check your employment contracts, remove the non-compete, but get in touch with Greg at Guardian Law and see if you can add the other things that we talked about that pretty much add and give you the same level of protection. And it's not been ruled against. So there you go. So the summary of this episode is that there's still a way around. There's still a way to get most of the protections that you should get as a business. And number two is, hey, technically this thing may even get turned over, but it might take a little bit of time to do that. So with that said, everybody, bam, you know what to do. Don'tsaythat.com/go. Get your copy of the book. Tell everyone else you know about it. Send this podcast episode to any business owner that you think would benefit from it. Thank you for all the support, Greg. Always, as always, thank you very much. To the rest of you, you know what I always say: when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, push it the heck back. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye.